We have two bills on our agenda this morning, Senate Bill 61 and Senate Bill 509. And colleagues, this is an ongoing saga, but I think we're about ready to see the final chapters written on our deliberations on school funding formulas. Today we're going to talk about 61. We're going to talk about some additional amendments that have been in drafting. We're going to talk about some amendments that are new amendments that Mr. Rose will explain for the committee's benefit. Then we're going to talk about the vehicle that we've selected to move these amendments into. So let's go ahead and open the public hearing on Senate Bill 61. And we'll start with a little orientation about the drafting of the amendments that the committee has discussed and agreed to, and then we'll call up Mr. Rose. But we'll start with Steve with where are we on our drafting of amendments? We were looking at a dash 2 set of amendments.
Yes, Mr. Chair, you have in front of you the Senate Bill 61-2 amendments. Those amendments basically incorporate the ideas that Mr. Rose brought to you at the last hearing on this bill. If you recall, he handed out some colored pages that dealt with transferring $4.5 million per year from the state school fund to a small school district supplement fund, and dealt with having a distribution of $200 per ADM for small high schools, and then also a couple of studies, one of small school districts and what the relationship between size, costs, and programs are, and another study of special education funding, for which $150 million would be taken out of the state school fund to finance. And so all of those are in the dash 2. There's one additional item in the dash 2 that wasn't discussed. That's a technical amendment dealing with census data that is used to measure the number of students in poverty families. And that before the 2000 census data can be used, we need to go back and change the year that is used to adjust the census data forward for the next 10 years. There's a reference to June of 1990 in the statute, and that needs to be changed so that June of 2000 is the date used for when the new census data is available.
Dan, appreciate knowing those technical issues. Now the amendments are here. Let me go ahead and ask invited testimony for Mr. Rose to come forward and discuss these amendments as drafted. And we are in public hearing on Senate Bill 61. Senator Castillo, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I said there were technical ones, but we just heard the one about the year 2000. Were there others in here that...
Not yet. There's some others being worked up.
Hold tight, Senator. It's,
okay.
Mr. Rose, have you reviewed the amendments that were produced under the dash 1 title? Dash 2 title.
Mr. Chairman, yes.
And do you find those consistent with the discussion that the committee had about amending the bill?
Yes. For the record, I'm Ozzy Rolls, the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. Yes, with the exception that we need the dish, the kind of technical things that are coming.
Okay, and then let's discuss just briefly what are the technical changes, additional technical changes in the dash 3.
Under section 4, the definition of a small high school, we left out the definition that we have in the law now talks about in districts of less than 8,500 kids. And this is a small school district supplement fund, and we should have the 8,500 limit to assure that that's where the money goes and helps us with the issue of alternative high schools and other schools that exist in larger districts. And that would make the section 4 consistent with the current language in the law about the small high school situation.
And those dash 3 amendments are being produced?
That's what went on.
Okay.
Second thing that's in the dash 3's timing wise, as I mentioned to you before, we need to try to move rapidly enough, especially on the grant side, so that districts will know they have the money so they make decisions for next year.
Mm-hmm.
The department can make temporary rules. The board can do that. And they could do that at the June meeting if this law is in effect before their June meeting. And I think that Cindy's writing language that will say upon passage, this law is effective so that we can move that process fast enough to give districts the information they need for making next year's budget.
So there is a timely mechanism for informing the districts what they might expect under this formula?
There has to be, yes.
You bet. Mr. Vice Chair has a question.
Thank you. Ozzy, I'm sure this is taken care of, but just since you mentioned alternative schools, in the way the language is constructed, doesn't cause any problems with charter schools being able to qualify as that?
No, I don't believe so. I think that's what we're trying to get fixed accurately.
Any further questions for Mr. Rose?
I do.
Yes. Senator Minnis.
In the Dash 2 Amendment, Section 4, where it deals with the student populations for the varying grades, can you explain how that functions? I guess I'm a little confused between A and C.
Mr. Chair, Senator Minnis, that's to account for the some high schools are grades 9 through 12 and some high schools are grades 10 through 12.
Well, A is 9 through 12 only, with an average daily membership of less than 350. I'm assuming that's 350 students, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then C is 9 through 12 with an ADM of less than 350 and also has students in...
I'm sorry. There are also some schools in the very small districts that are K through 12 schools, and this just accounts that they have their 9 through 12 enrollment is lower than this, but they do have additional students in the building or in the school that are in grades 1 through 8 or K through 8. Just to identify the three kinds of
But I guess the ceiling is 350 students.
Four nines, yeah. Four grades, yes, sir.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Senator Minnis?
Yeah, I believe so.
Thank you.
I assume it's trying to fill a gap that wasn't covered by A and B, so...
It is. Correct. Senator Corcoran.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to get a couple things clear. One is that I just want to get on the record again that at this point, the proposal that you have only assigns $4.5 million per year to the small high schools, to get at the small high school issue. Is that correct?
That's this bill does, yes, sir.
Okay, and in addition, you have you're trying to set up the parameters for the grant that schools can apply for.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Corcoran, that grant's inside the $4.5 million.
That grant is in the special needs.
Yeah, this splits the $4.5 million, $3 million across the board at $200 a kid, another $1.5 million goes out in the grant process.
Okay, and Mr. Chair, do you have the run in front of you, Ozzy?
No, I don't.
Can you get him a copy of the run? I have some questions about. I'm going to take Douglas County because it's not my district. I mean, I've got part of Douglas County, but just by way of illustration.
States, right?
Pardon me?
Statesman,
yeah. Thanks, Ozzy. Well, I could take Lane County, but it's terribly confusing because you got different winners and losers. You know, why would South Lane, in any kind of configuration that the feds had with this money coming down for small timber-dependent communities, why would South Lane be excluded? And, that's the question I'm asking, but I'm going to kind of ask it about my own district. The problem that I think functionally exists with this is that it doesn't get at another issue, which is Roseburg. Look at Roseburg. Doesn't qualify. Glide doesn't qualify. And these are not my district. South Umpqua doesn't qualify. Winston-Dillard and Sutherland. So I got to say, Mr. Chair, I can't support this, A, because it's not nearly enough money. It's not anywhere close to the $29 million that we talked about. And B, it doesn't get to the small communities, timber-dependent communities that we talked about. I just wanted to get that on the record. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Corcoran.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So what is in this formula? I mean, what dollars are in this formula? Is this the total $5.2 billion? What are we looking at here? And the forestry, the federal funds, and what's in here?
Maybe I can help. This is the formula by which all dollars that will go into the formula, whether that is $5.21 billion or some amount greater than that or some amount smaller than that,
okay.
This is the formula by which those dollars will be distributed. It does not deal with the question of the forest receipts. This bill does not, nope, not in there. Well, this vehicle doesn't deal with that. If those dollars end up in the formula, they will be distributed through this formula. If those dollars end up somewhere else, then this formula would not be applied to those dollars. But what we're trying to focus on here is the distribution formula itself. We don't know what the input to this equation will be yet. And I think we'll have to wait until May to find out what that will be. Mr. Vice Chair.
I think that the question, though, there's this one, we're talking about shifting $9 million additional dollars to small high schools. And keep in mind that we already, in a previous formula, changes on an implementation schedule. This time we shift an additional, I believe it's $9 million to the small schools. So there would be a total of about an $18 million shift towards smaller school districts, small districts with small high schools, as part of the existing formula that was ratcheting over.
Yeah, double counting.
That's an $18 million, that's an $18 million shift.
Nine would already took place, Mr. Chair. That has nothing to do with the $29 million.
Exactly. All through.
That's true.
Mr. Rose, do you have some light to shine on this argument, discussion?
No, on the place, I didn't have a discussion, Mr. Chair, Senator Parker and Senator Castillo, the rest of the committee. We have never approached, our problem with the timber money is that it did not reflect how the formula works. There is a problem with small schools. This is aimed at an adjustment in the formula. And I offer the argument, and Senator Corkland is being careful to be sure I don't overstate it, that the difference between last biennium's budget and this biennium's budget, there's $18 million moved to small schools. Yes, half of it was already going there. Does that satisfy those of you who have concerns about what's happening to the timber money? It doesn't. But nobody gets everything satisfied here. This proposal is aimed at, and remember, another part of this proposal, there are two other parts that are very important in this proposal. One is a focused review of size, cost, and program so that we have a different discussion in the next session, and then a focused review on the special ed issue all the way from the formula to what kinds of kids are covered to training, licensing. You have a quagmire there that needs serious addressing. So there are other things in this bill, but this addresses the formula and how we distribute money. It does not answer the question of should you or shouldn't you. And we have an opinion, but that's not up in this opinion.
Senator Corkin.
That was a very good encapsulation, and you're absolutely right about the trying to figure out the services actually provided, and you're absolutely right about the special ed. I don't disagree with you at all. The disagreement is not, and the disagreement over the timber money is not with you. It's with the leadership in this building about the question of is 5.2 adequate, the $29 million outside of the formula. So, you know, does it add up to 5.2229? And that's the base discussion. And, you know, my feeling is that 5.2 is adequate and the $29 million needs to be outside the formula. And I think that's real clear in the legislative intent, congressional intent, and I'll just keep, you know, hammering that point. And it's up to the, you know, the leadership to agree or not to agree to put an adequate amount of money into the funding formula.
Why do I feel like this is Groundhog Day? Let's right. Excuse Mr. Rose, and then we'll call up Senator Messerly. And while Senator Messerly comes to the podium, let me suggest that he may feel like the parent whose child comes home from college with a tattoo and a nose ring, because Senate Bill 61 is the vehicle that we've been using to consider the entire school funding formula. Not the issue senator brought before us, which was to extend the glide path for schools that have had precipitous declines in enrollment. And so let's hear from the proud parent of Senate Bill 61.
And if everybody would turn to Coos County in the Bible here.
Senator Messerly, you have the floor.
Well, thank you, Chair Ferrioli, and committee members. I'm Ken Messerly, District 24, Senate District 24, and I am the sponsor of Senate Bill 61. I am frustrated, and Mr. Chair, you pretty well summarized my frustrations. in that the purpose of the bill that I drafted was to exactly which, as you stated, extend the glide pattern and give some relief to districts that are, have had tremendous losses over a sustained period of time. My concern with Senate Bill 61-2, which is all I've had presented to me, is that it totally cuts out the districts, such as Senator Corcoran was expressing, who have been under some very severe situations for a very long period of time. And I would suggest, as an alternative to basing this on the size of the high school or the school district, that you base it on the length of period that they've been in a reduced enrollment period, and also base it on a percentage of the reduction of enrollment to the total district, so that you would cover not only the very small districts or the small districts, but also some of the medium, and I would assume there might even be a large district or two involved in that. As an example, I was on a conference call yesterday morning with the Coos Bay area and their school districts. North Bend is still losing around 200 students per year, and this has been going on for some time. Coos Bay, I think, is not quite that bad, but they're still losing extensive students per year. I have to say I'm also frustrated that I have had no contact with School Board Association, COSA, or anyone regarding what's happening to this bill. And as a sponsor of the bill, I think it's normally courtesy to talk to the sponsor of bills before they're changed extensively. I just think the bill in the dash two form is missing the point of what we're trying to address here. And on the other hand, I'm honored that you're using this bill to rectify some of the problems we have with school funding. I'd also like to say that I know the argument is we don't want to mess with the formula. We don't want to change the funding formula in the state. But I didn't hear these arguments when we were extending the formula to our fast-growing districts in the past, or when we had the local option put into our school funding. It's odd. Seems odd to me that those arguments were not made at that time, but we're hearing them now. So I simply want to state that we've got some very severe problems. The school districts are having a tough time meeting their requirements, and there doesn't seem to be any relief in sight for them. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Colleagues, I have the responsibility of not communicating fully with the senator, and for that I apologize. The fact is that when Senate Bill 61 was being heard in its original form, the committee disconnected from the concept of multiple adjustments to the formula and eventually had to come back to the concept of perhaps only one adjustment for small schools in the formula. And we therefore took Senate Bill 61 and kept using it as a vehicle to discuss these issues. We did make an amendment, which was a dash one amendment. We do have another vehicle that is absolutely perfectly serviceable for our purposes, and that's Senate Bill 519. Senate Bill 519 has the right relating clause. It was relating to financing education. And Senate Bill 519 was an adjustment for adding the transportation issues, which I think probably is a non-starter in this session, given the difficulty we've had getting any adjustments in the school funding formulas. So I would suggest to you that one possible course of action would be to open a work session on Senate Bill 61. Remove the dash one amendments and return it to its original form, and then reschedule it for a hearing on its own merits, or with the senator's permission, continue to use Senate Bill 61, knowing that we have the dash three amendments pending in legislative council at this very moment. Somebody's typewriter is probably hot right now, or their word processor. So I would ask the committee if it has any questions for the good senator, and then defer to the senator on his desires. Question, Senator Corcoran.
Senator Messley, I guess a couple of questions. One is, I think it is a the vehicle question. What which bill would carry forward? Senator Ferriol has characterized that appropriately. Have you looked at the run that showed side by side the effect of the four bills that we were looking at, yours and the others, and how did Coos Bay end up at the end of the day on that?
They received an awful lot of money, and my analysis of that was we have to work on this bill because that's simply taking too much. I believe, as I added it up, it was something like $32 million.
Okay.
If I'm talking about the same run. And that's why I suggested that we analyze this on a basis of how long they've been losing enrollment.
That was the run that had the transportation, and it had the ADM extension and all those. Okay.
And not only the how long they've been losing enrollment, but also the percentage of loss that they've been sustaining, too.
So, Mr. Chair, the second issue would be then, what are your feelings on this notion that when the bus hit the wall here, it was this issue that if you take the $29 million totally outside the formula, you do it to the disadvantage of every other school district, the medium-sized school districts and, you know, the Portlands and Eugenes and so forth. Do you think that that the $29 million should be subtracted from 5.2 and taken out of the formula in some way, or do you think that the 5.2 is there and we need the $29 million outside the formula to do what the feds wanted us to do?
You're speaking of the $29 million as the federal funding?
Mm-hmm. The additional federal
funding. I think there's several totally separate issues, and we can't. It's not going to work at all to try to mix them.
Okay.
And as far as the dash threes, I have no idea what those are all about.
Yeah, they're just they're nothing.
Well, I guess just to clarify the question I asked you earlier was Senate Bill 51 was a glide path bill. It was meant to extend the ADMW in schools that have had precipitous losses either 2, 3, 4, or 5 years out. The way we are anticipating amending that bill, the Dash 1 amendment simply asked us to select the highest or the most recent year. Which was that, Steve?
The highest of the prior 4 years.
Highest of the prior 4 to give the best benefit to the school. So the Dash 1 amendments are germane to the bill the way you drafted the bill.
Mm-hmm.
The Dash 2 amendments are redirect the bill entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question I asked you was what your level of comfort either to have the bill return to its original configuration and function, or to be used by this committee as a vehicle to amend the entire school funding formula, knowing that we do have another vehicle that we could use to do that. So that was my question for you in terms of the function of this bill. Senator Kesty, did you have a question?
Oh, I was just going to follow up for Senator Messerly's information. The Dash 3 amendments, I said you hadn't seen them. They do not get to the issue that you're concerned
okay.
about. So.
Yeah, they're very small technical issues about the size of schools in the small school funding formula.
Well, I leave that choice to you as a committee. You know, you have all the details. I just simply wanted to raise the issue that you're leaving out a lot of districts that are really, really suffering right now, probably more than some of the small school districts. And whatever vehicle you use for that, I don't have any pride of ownership here. I do have a very strong concern, though, that we don't walk away from this session and not address the issue.
Mr. Chair, I think we could move them all into Senate Bill 134. That seems to be the instinct for everything else in this building.
Senator Minnis?
Well, somehow I've gotten myself completely and totally confused here. Because it was probably not uncommon, but
you probably had a lot of help by
well,
the minutes.
Well, I thought the last time we had a discussion about this, we had this super plan.
Yeah.
That basically demonstrated how the distribution would be done in a fairly simplistic way, and it dealt with schools that had populations of 350 or less. And so I was kind of fine with that, although, you know, it looked like it needed some tweaking, and I think we sent off Ozzy and whomever else to come up with their plan. And then I'm looking at this distribution spreadsheet on, you know, April 2nd, and with the Dash 2 amendments in it, and I can't figure out why the effect of the Dash 2 amendments, if they do what I guess were originally thought to be being done, if you look at Multnomah County, all of my school districts there are losing $7. Yet Corbett, who has a student population of 705 students, is gaining $48 per student. And Riverdale, that has a student population of 499, is this ADMW. This may not be actual student. Maybe that's where I'm confused. But they picked up $33 per thousand. And I guess I thought this was supposed to only affect schools with 350 students.
That's
maybe it's after we run it through the formula, it
right.
changes.
Actually, the formula would be applied. The adjustment to the formula is applied to small districts having a high school with a high school population of less than 350.
which is that.
Corbett may have 750,
yeah.
But of that 750, the high school is 400.
Okay, understand. Well, I guess I agree with Senator Mazzarelli. I don't think this gets to the point. Mr. Chairman, I would think that sending all the certified smart people aside with some of the folks that have an idea about what they want to try to accomplish together and come back with something that might accomplish this goal would, just a suggestion, might be helpful, because I guess I'm a little confused with what we're trying to do.
Well, I guess I'll have to remind the committee that this is 13 weeks on this bill, and there's been at least two of the kinds of meetings that you've described, one early on in the session, one as a result of the group being called together to deal specifically with this issue. And the product of that work was that the professionals, COSA and OSBA, basically have said, leave the formula alone. However, there's a recognition that the small school district, exactly as Senator Messley pointed out, have the additional problem of not being able to deal with their fixed costs in a situation of declining enrollment. And so after hundreds of hours of consideration by members and people asked to consider this very issue, the adjustment formula that was brought forth was a small district adjustment involving $9 million over this biennium for small school districts that are so defined that have high schools with 350 or less, and that the allocation would be the $4.5 million per year on an ADMW basis for $3 million, and then on a needs grant basis for $1.5 million, and then the group would come together and make the discussions about how that needs grant basis was to be processed. And then in addition, there was $150,000 for a study that gets us to the finer points of the questions of equity, the questions of services, the questions of dealing with the funding formula in the biennium to be brought back to the next legislative session. We have a question from Senator Corcoran, a question from the Vice Chair, but that was directed to Senator Minnis, so his response first.
Well, I mean, I guess my problem is that I really don't care what COSA does or all these certified smart or people. I'd like to find a solution, you know, and whether they want to go there or not, to me, is irrelevant. The question is, are we meeting the needs of the people that we're trying to identify here? Either one, we say we're not going to because we don't think it's important enough in the grand scheme of things, or it is important enough, and if it is important enough, then we find a solution. And you know, just because people dig their heels in and say this is the way it's always been done, this is the way we need to do it in the future, I don't buy that. I didn't get elected to do that.
Well, and then I think one of the conversations that we had in this room not long ago had to do with the politics, the pragmatism, and the science. And although I agree with you, Senator, absolutely, that my earlier approach was to look at the $700 million, which is new money into this formula, and try to solve the problems of the glide path, the rapid increases in some areas, rapid declines in others, the relative inaccessibility for some districts of grant funds for infrastructure development, very high cost of independent education programs and the very high cost of programs that deal with disabled and other able students. All of those alternatives have been arrayed. All of them have been discussed by this committee. And the committee has only come to consensus on the approach that we have before us in the Dash 2s. So part of it is the politics of the issue, and part of it is the art of the doable. And although many of our members on this committee are essentially moving forward on this formula with a very strong feeling that there isn't enough money in education, others feel that there's adequate money for education but no accountability. So the question I think before us is, this clearly does not do all of the things that $700 million could do, but it also has to get past the politics of the issue and find favor with this committee first and then on the floor. And if I don't believe we've seen one other permutation that looked like it had consensus, but the dash two amendments were constructed only because this committee expressed consensus. So that's where we are today. Senator Corcoran, you had your hand up.
Well, you know, science, pragmatism, and politics. I'll leave the politics to the majority party in the building. You've got a big caucus tomorrow. I hope you take this issue forward to them. The science and the pragmatism, from my point of view, is that, you know, we have to be able, and it's not rocket science, we have to be able to look, and I don't criticize what Ozzy did either, because I think what Ozzy did was to look at it from the focus of the schools. The problem is that the focus is broader than that. The federal legislation talks about small timber-dependent communities and the difficulties they've had. That's what that supplemental money was for. We've never been able to get there because it's extremely complex, because there's no correlation between large school, small school, and these timber-dependent communities. And so, you know, the science of it is pretty simple. Leave the formula alone. Do the studies. We absolutely have to do those. But the $29 million has to be outside of the formula, and it has to not be part of the 5.2. I mean, that's how... I mean, I can look any constituent in the eye going back to the district if I can tell them that we figured out a formula, even if it has faults, for $29 million. I cannot look them in the eye and say that we figured out a perfect formula that only has $9 million in it. That's the pragmatism of it. I can look a South Lane School District in the eye and say, you don't get any money under the formula, but the money was dedicated to what it was intended to do, and Oak Ridge got the money. You know, I don't have a problem with that kind of winner and loser scenario. I do have a problem with pitting Portland and Eugene against these timber communities by keeping that money in the formula and counting it towards the 5.2. So, I mean, you know, I think that's a discussion from a political standpoint that the majority party has to have in both chambers.
Senator, I agree. But I'll point out that this is not the vehicle for that issue. This is.
It is.
This vehicle has to do with the funding formula, whether or not the federal dollars are inside or outside. This is the distribution formula that will be the base distribution for ADMW. Again, let me iterate, I concur with your approach that it should be outside the formula. And I'm still working on strategies that will accomplish that goal. That has not an iota to do with Senate Bill 61-2 and one step removed for the good senator.
Mr. Senator, if I can make a brief statement, then I have to get back to, we're trying to run some bills through my committee too this morning.
Are you sure you don't want to chair this committee?
I think I'd rather go back.
Natural resources looks easy now, huh?
Well, looking better all the time. I just want to say that, for the record, that I've served 14 years on the Coquille School Boards, and we've been through a lot of losses there. And I also want to state that the constituents that I have throughout my district and all the school districts are not trying to say they should be held harmless. They recognize that they have to reduce costs. The situation is that they simply can't reduce costs fast enough when they have these kind of tremendous losses of enrollment. I've asked a lot of superintendents from a lot of different districts whether they would prefer to be in a fast-growing district or a district losing enrollment, and they all say much prefer to be in a fast-growing district. Obviously, a stable district is the best scenario of all, but these districts are just in a very, very difficult situation. And they recognize that as their enrollment drops, their costs have to be decreased, but they just can't absorb it that fast.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Thank you, Senator, very much. Senator Beyer, you had your hand up earlier.
Well, we're back to the same place. The reality, I mean, the real issue is the timber money inside or outside the 5.2? Well, I guess that's not really it. Is the timber money outside the school formula? If it is, there isn't 5.2 in the budget for schools. And is it 29 point whatever million dollars, or is it just the incremental change above that? The reality, and I think Senator Messerly brought it true, but if you look, I was just looking through the district's changes, the two districts that he mentioned, which no one would argue were in a distressed area, North Vancouver Bay, if you look at the 198 districts in Oregon, they are not small districts by any stretch of the imagination, nor is their decrease significantly different than most of the others. It's fair to say that most every district in the state has decreasing enrollment. A few have increasing enrollments. So they're all facing the same problem. We're not, and that's just the issue there, is that no one feels that they've got enough money. And everybody, from the testimony that we've heard over the last few months, is suggesting that in the budget they're preparing, they're all going to do decreases in the programs they offer. So we're not talking about anybody having gads of new money or things. They're all in the same boat. The question is, how do you deliver the services? In fact, I think Senator Minnis's districts that he's represented, one of them state level, Gresham Borough, and the others, or a couple of them, are decreasing rather significantly. So, I mean, it's, the picture is the same across the state. Senator Minnis?
Just kind of defer to you in terms of your wisdom and judgment as to where we go from here. But, I mean, I appreciate the discussion about $29 million. You know, outside the 5.2 or inside the 5.2. I guess, to me, the better question is it outside the formula or inside the formula? Because I think when you get to the outside 5.2, then you get to the resource discussion,
right,
which gets us to, do we raise taxes or do we, you know, pull resources from somewhere else? And that's a much bigger discussion than I guess I'm willing at this point to get involved. You know, but I think, and maybe the discussion here is should the $29 million be treated differently because there's a specific purpose for it? I mean, that to me is the bigger discussion, because I guess I was operating under the impression that there were significant factors occurring within rural districts that needed some kind of special appropriation or recognition because of the dynamic, and that's why the $29 million to me is very appealing, and because the Congress, you know, authorized it for that purpose, and I think it's arguable that if we spend it in that way, it's defensible. But, you know, on the resource question, I kind of think that's a bigger, separate question that's involving the governor and the co-chairs and the leadership and so on and so forth. So I guess I'd like to get to the point about, and I'm willing to vote whether the 29 should be outside of the formula or not, and I'm a yes vote. But then talking about mostly, what do you do with the $29 million? You know, this $9 million we're talking about here, I would suggest probably should be part of that. And then are there other things we should do? And if you do decide that it's outside of the formula and you've got $29 million as a pot, is it possible to run more money through this formula that Ozzie came up with, the superintendent? And does that change how that affects the districts? I guess I just don't know.
Well, I think, Senator, the question's yet to be answered about inside or outside. If outside, it makes a significant difference to all of the timber-dependent communities that have suffered seriously for a decade. And that outside distribution added to the small school distribution could make the difference between having schools that are in a tailspin of decline over the next 5 years, or those that actually could create such a synergy in their districts that they can actually use their education systems as recruitment vehicles to bring new industries into communities that desperately need new jobs. And that's, I think, what was intended by Congress. So we'll defer at least the question goes to Senator Beyer and then to Senator Castillo, who's been so patient, and maybe just the wiser of all of us, because she's not said anything this morning.
I think, Mr. Chair, that you really started out and said we've got to get going on something. And to me, there are sort of three levels of questions. It's, we know what Congress appropriated. We also know that part of what Congress appropriated, at least from the state perspective, was not new money. It replaces money that we were already getting. So there's the question is, do you take the whole amount of money, or do you just take the change in what we've had? If you take the whole money, then you're taking money out from the school funding formula that was there before. It's an okay thing to do, then, but it causes a different set of questions. Then it's that total pot is less, and you do that. If we take the money outside, which is going to go through timber-dependent communities, I would suggest that the best thing to do is not even mess with that. Recognize it was a federal appropriation. Use their formula and just give it to the counties with the direction that they allocate it to schools. They've done that in the past. There's precedent for that. Let them do it. Recognize that may not get it to the smaller schools, but at least it honors the congressional mandate to do that. If you do that, then I think you stop and don't do anything else to the formula and recognize that you've created a big hole. You haven't done anything for the growing school districts, which this Dash 2 doesn't do either, and you're creating a little bit more of a problem for most of the school districts in the state. But that's reality. If that's what we're going to do inside the budget, that's just the way we're going to do it. But do the continuing studies, but don't make any other changes to the formula. It just gets too confusing.
Okay, well, let me... I feel a certain sense of obligation here to try to keep focus on this issue. And the issue for me is simply this. The argument about the forest dollars, many people say belongs within the consideration of the funding formula. I don't believe that's true. I think the argument on the funding formula looks at the problem that we heard discussed earlier. If you had to choose between a rapidly increasing district and a rapidly declining district, naturally you'd choose the increasing district because with the students come the additional resources for ADMW. That leads us to the conclusion that we, in relative terms, don't really do anything for the rapidly increasing districts because the kids bring the dollars with them. It's at the other end of the spectrum that you've got the real hemorrhaging, and that's where the kids leave and the ADMW leave. And I think that's the argument that the school district professionals and the administrators came to after all of the other considerations were off the table. At the end of the day, they still had to come back to the fact that you've got a lot of small schools, some not in timber-dependent communities, where enrollment decline brings them below the place where they have the critical mass to maintain their fixed overhead. That's what this formula recognizes. Let me make it clear. This committee has the alternative to do nothing with the school funding formula, and that can move forward with no action on our part. And the funding formula that we've received from the previous biennium is the one that we will see move forward into the next biennium. Or this committee can move on the Dash 2 amendments, either in Senate Bill 61 or in Senate Bill 519. And that will at least recognize the fact that those small districts with high schools less than 350 were recognized by the professionals in the industry, the teachers and the administrators, as being the ones that have the far worst problem. And I guess I will tell you that I think we can go through this equation as many times as we want to, but I don't know if we'll come up with a different conclusion. My inclination is to ask the committee to take an action that will move this bill in front of another committee with another set of just as reasonable minds and just as energetic legislators who have the same kinds of concerns, where the arguments can be recast and looked at with fresh perspective, and to see if that makes a difference in the outcome. I don't know that they will come to any other conclusions. I'm certainly willing to give somebody else a crack at this. I have not heard anything malicious from this committee. I've heard nothing but heartfelt, genuine concerns about trying to do the right job. And I just believe that this is such a difficult issue that we've done what we can do with this bill. I think it's time to either decide that we're not going to adjust the funding formula at all this session, at least not from this committee, or we move this thing forward with the adjustment that recognizes that the small schools got hurt the worst, and the approach that we were brought from inside the professional core of administrators and school district teachers and others is the adjustment that we can get support for broadly in this building. I think that is the pragmatic approach, and that's the thing that we ought to do. That's the approach that the chairman will recommend to the committee. And then we take this wonderful set of conundrums to the House and let the House, with its relatively broader perspective and more members, look at this equation and see if they come up with a different answer. I personally think they will not, but I'm willing to let them try. Now, Senator Castillo, you do have the last word.
Where do you even start commenting on this? I think everybody has just had great comments to make on this and on our current status with this whole issue. I guess you know, trying to stay focused on the policy and what the dash two amendments are trying to get at is a good discussion to have, and I think it's good for us to try to be focused on that policy. I understand where Senator Minnis is coming from when he says that, you know, this isn't a resource issue, but I think that's why this is so hard, is because that is part of all of this, that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is about resources. And it's about, you know, anything you do to this formula, you could go down to any single one of these schools on this list and make it real by, if you went to those buildings and saw what was happening there, and then, you know, and then say, oh, okay, so we're going to give you like $150,000 less. That's the reality of what we're doing. And I think it's not just the numbers. It's not just numbers on a piece of paper. It's real, you know, real programs and real kids that get affected by what we're doing here. And it is about resources. And so for me, I'm trying to not get bogged down in that fight on this committee, but that really is at the heart of what we're doing here is, you know, nobody has enough money and they're all struggling with their programs. And so, yeah, we are trying to do, we've used the word triage, I guess, earlier, and that's what we do in these dash two amendments, is we attempt to do some triage work here. And it's going to be interesting if this gets out of here and goes over to the House. Yeah, we've got, I think we have, what, three people from the Portland area on the House revenue side? They're going to have a different way of looking at this formula, and they're going to look at how the metro area produces most of the income taxes for our state, and they're going to see how, you know, what happens here and how the metro area supports all of the school districts in our state, and they're going to look at this from a very different perspective. And I, you know, it's 90 members who all represent various school districts all looking at this and realizing the real impacts on their kids in their part of the state, and you realizing what happens in your part of the state with your school district. And so, I mean, I don't know that I've offered any helpful comments in this discussion, but I just, it to me, it is about resources. That is the very, very difficult struggle we have here.
Senator Castillo, I would say that you added a great deal to the discussion just now. I think you added some wisdom. And what that wisdom is for me is this. We were charged with distributing $700 million more dollars into this school funding equation. That's our job. And the question is, how shall we distribute that $700 million more? And this is the formula that we have before us. But I think it's absolutely entirely wise, and that's the wisdom that you brought. The folks from the other committee are constituted differently, and they will add a different perspective. And there will be discussions, not only of the resource, but of the funding distribution formula, and of the treatment of the larger populated, more metropolitan areas. And that's a discussion that has to take place. I think, you know, to comfort you somewhat, Senator, it is $700 million more, and the likelihood of us coming to a conference committee to discuss the different versions is high. So I would suggest that even if we do our duty this morning and move this bill forward, we're not finished with this issue, not from a resource perspective, not from the forest receipts perspective, and not from the distribution formula perspective. I think those issues need to move forward so that other people, you know, get to hear this bill and get to put their logic and wisdom to bear on the problem. You know, we just need some new perspective. I believe, honestly, that this committee's turned this equation every which way but loose, and it's kind of probably time to turn the equation loose. Colleagues, I only have a question for you. Do we use Senate Bill 61 as the vehicle in which case we could move today? Or do we bring Senate Bill 519 back to the committee, gut it and stuff it, and move the dash two and three amendments together into that bill? In other words, we'd have to revisit this issue again on another day if we bring 519 back. I feel somewhat sheepish about taking Senator Minnis's bill, which was a glide path bill, and assuming that vehicle was the vehicle that we'd use without discussing that with him. He was very gracious this morning, but I think he has a bit stronger feelings than he expressed for the record this morning. Senator Corcoran.
Well, Mr. Chair, I won't support any movement of any bill, including 134, to the other chamber unless there's a clear understanding that $29 million is out of the formula. And I would also add that of that $29 million, I'm not wed to the fact that all $29 million has to go to solve the federal problem, because I think there's a very legitimate argument that these small timber communities were in fact subsidized by equalization, and I think that taking, you know, 20 for the, you know, the timber communities, pushing through the county, I think I've looked at that already. I think Senator Byers absolutely right on that issue, and I don't have any problem with taking 20 for that and leaving 9 for the high growth school districts with the understanding that they did in fact subsidize these small communities. But you know, $9 million under the current plan doesn't cut it.
Anyone else care to express an opinion on the issue at hand? Senator Beyer.
I could support taking the amount of new money, whatever that now, I'm lost in the numbers now, but whatever that is, I think it's $18 million, and distributing that to the counties under the federal fund.
29.
Huh?
29 is the new money.
29 is new.
Yeah.
How much is the total?
I don't remember what the total is. 29 is the additional. If you took 2000, 2001 as the base year, the 29, and for the federal forest receipts, the 29 is on top of that. Right, Senator Ferriola?
It is.
Thank you.
However, again, I'll point out that inside or outside on the federal forest receipts, the equation that we're looking at now is the distribution formula for whatever is left inside. And if it were $1 billion less, we'd have the same equation. If it were $1 billion more, we'd have the same question before us, and that is this the funding formula that we will move forward to make the distribution of the $700 million additional dollars in this session? The forest receipts is a separate question.
Mr. Chair, I disagree with that. I would be unwilling to do anything to the formula if we reduce the 5.2 by the $29 million. If you want to take that and annotate it in the formula bill that was new congressional money and we're going to use the federal formula and send it to the counties and let them deal with it, I could do that. I can justify that. But I'm not for doing both. I'm not for adjusting the formula and doing that. It's one or the other.
Senator Castillo?
Well, yeah, because if you take the 29, because if the 29 isn't an addition, then the tweaks in the formula are even worse, I guess. And so I guess, I would have a concern about doing that too. And we haven't answered the issue of trying to accommodate Senator Messerly with his concern. And if he has a serious concern about this, then we can accommodate him. We should try to accommodate him. In terms of
using
a different vehicle.
I think this concern is entirely legitimate. And I have no problem with bringing 519 back to the committee and getting that bill, since that was a committee bill at my request. Senator Messerly, Minnis.
I was going to say, I'm kind of ambivalent on this. One side of me wants to just weed the entire problem and send it to the House. Somebody else can figure it all out, because it's one of those things that's like, it's too hard to figure out. But the other side of me really would like to try to find some solution. So I guess at this point, being able to count, I assume it would be in our best interest to maybe take a few days, maybe give Senator Messerly the opportunity to maybe come up with some solutions.
Well, actually, if we don't move the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 61, Senator Messerly's concern about the glide path is still viable, because Senate Bill 61, as it's currently written, is only about the glide path. If we amend the bill today with the Dash 2 amendments, which is the funding formula that we've worked on and brought forward, that's a gutting stuff.
And my assumption was that there might be some compromise between the two plans that might be viable, and I don't know. Let's
bring Mr. Rose back to the podium to beat him for a little bit about the head and shoulders in the meantime. Mr. Vice Chair, did you have a question or comment?
Just a comment. Two. One is, if we take the timber money outside. I think Senator Messerly's major concern, which is his district, is taken care of.
Yeah.
There's no longer a glide path concern for him. There may be for others, but I think he's, Coos County and Curry County do okay under the federal formula. The other one is, as I was thinking about it, actually Senator Corcoran's idea of, if it is $29 million, if you took $9 million of that and put it into four high-growth districts and $20 million distributed straight through, actually may be a political compromise that works.
And I guess what I'd suggest to you is that there are an awful lot of people in this building who have not had the opportunity to put their considerations and their concerns to work on this bill. And if there is a political compromise, it probably needs to involve them. So I would suggest that the other side of this building is the place where those ultimate compromises get worked out.
Send that over. Send 20 and 9 over there, outside the formula.
Well, actually, I perceive there's a critical mass on this committee to do something in that neighborhood. I'd ask you to hold off for a day or two before you decide on that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to agree to send over a flawed piece. If we have the votes in the committee to send over something reasonable, let's send that. You know, we don't have any hurry.
Well,
we're going to be here till July anyway, according to Marla Ray.
Ms. Ray's not generally wrong.
Is that like Iowa sticking in the
president? I'd like to bring
the committee back to focus for just a second here, and that would be the dollars that have been talked about from the beginning of this legislative session to support education have been $5.2 billion. And every time that issue has come up, I and others in this committee, I think, have reminded leadership that the federal appropriation was a particular and special appropriation that had nothing to do with timber harvesting. Those dollars are not created by harvesting trees. They are to be distributed to those communities that lost revenue. It's a special appropriation. The fact that the governor included that in his bill, I think, is because of an imperfect understanding, because of the relative shortness of time between the federal appropriation and the creation of the governor's budget for adequate consideration. These are not dollars derived from harvesting timber. They are specially appropriated dollars to be distributed to those communities that have lost timber harvesting. So they don't belong inside the funding formula, I believe. And that's just my personal take on the thing. Co-chairs have included that money inside the formula and, in effect, backfilled federal dollars and counted them as part of the $5.2 billion. I consider that a math error. And possibly one that can be corrected. But regardless of whether that issue is corrected or whether we can get the co-chairs to agree that the math error and the imperfect understanding led that $29 million to be included in the funding formula does not bear on the question that we have before us. I'll bring it back to that. Ozzy, if we change, Mr. Rose, excuse me for being so informed. Mr. Rose, if we amended this bill further and included language in the amendment that excludes the federal forest dollars from distribution inside the funding formula, what do you think the effect will be?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, again, Ozzy Rose. If you move the $29 million out of the formula, whether you take it outside the bill or whatever, however you do that. But the impact is that it doesn't go through the formula. It gets distributed in the way the senator wants to do it or whatever. For example, I don't think Coos Bay will like that. And I don't, you know, I don't think Senator Minnis's district would like that. As I recall, I don't have the runs with me anymore, but and Senator Minnis raised the issue, why does this run now show that all our districts lose $7? That was the number that I shared with you when I testified the other day. That's the impact of moving $4.5 million to in this other direction. It has to come from somewhere inside this box, and that same thing's going to happen.
But that, Ozzy, that is, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but
That's on, based on an assumption that we're at the limit of 5.2.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. If you do nothing other than rearrange the 29, that will, is what will occur.
Right.
And you'll be in the same dilemma you're in, Mr. Minnis's districts would have, instead of a minus 7, they'll have a minus 22 or 3 or 4, something in that neighborhood. And that's the dilemma you have. And quite frankly, that's the dilemma. And I respectfully submit to you that the distribution of superintendents that worked on this is not unlike the distribution of the 90 of you. They're a group of them from the metro area and a group of them, et cetera. And they all face that same dilemma that you've struggled with. And I reminded you the other day that they have the same awful hour of expressing these views before they ever get started on these issues. The reason they came down with what they did, again, assuming the money was the money, that's the pot, they believe that the declining enrollment is an issue. But it's an issue that's going to have to be dealt with in every day. You're going to continue to decline. You got to come to grips with it, was one of the stance they took. They also believed that the fundamental base program that's available in every school district is in jeopardy in the small schools. And so let's take an effort. And this was the money part of this is sunset in 2 years. It's the triage for this, that question, until you take a better look at what is the fundamental base program that needs to be funded everywhere. Do you do it? And the same thing with your special ed side of this. You've heard, those of you on the Education Committee, heard the presentation on our growing issues around autism and so forth. That whole issue, all it needs more work. And that's what drove to this proposal. But you move 20, 25 million or whatever the numbers are around and run another run, all superintendents and all legislators will have another set of concerns when they look at the computer runs.
Senator Corcoran?
Not if 29 is outside and the 5.2 remains.
Oh, excuse me. If it generates another $29 million
that's
into
right.
schools,
yeah.
And they'll have different computer runs.
That's right. Yeah. That's my point. And the other point I want to make is I think we can't lose the parts of the suggestions that Ozzie had with regard to special ed and I think the service issue is very close. I mean, it's almost the same debate that we had with the ESDs, and it's almost the same discussion we've had about the QEM. I mean, we're $1 billion short of that apparently. So, I mean, I think we should keep the good parts of that. I just don't agree with the way the money's doled out, and I obviously don't agree with the 5.2. Yeah.
Senator Minnis.
Well, I've gotten to the point where I'm almost talk myself all the way back around and want to send this thing to the House.
I mean, or nearly anywhere.
in the sense that if you're right, let's assume the leadership and the politics of this building increases the amount of money, $29 million and so forth, that just changes the pot, and the distribution stays the same.
Right.
We make a policy decision based on the work of the superintendents. Those other questions are still going to be lingering. We're not going to be able to solve that here and now.
Right. However, Senator Minnis, I think the fact is that the expressions are so strong to keep that money outside the formula and so strong to back the $5.2 billion that I think this committee can take messages back to its own caucus and say, look, we're running into a wall here. You know, it took us 13 weeks to get through the funding formula, and the sticking point was this one. We agreed that if all things were equal and there were no federal appropriations for timber dollars and the 5.2 was the finite universe, that this would be the formula. And the apple of contention tends to be that this issue of the funding formula of the timber dollars also strikes at the $5.2 billion. And both those things need to come to reconciliation. I still absolutely believe there's going to be additional considerations added on the House side, and there may be additional compromises made on the House side. I just think that's almost inevitable. And I think at that point in time, we get another look at this. I'm still not backing up absolutely an inch on the funding of $5.2 billion, and I'm not backing up on the inch on the idea that the funding on the federal receipts is a special appropriation having nothing to do with timber receipts. So, I mean, I'm trying to make that very clear to the committee here. And I guess my inclination is still to take 519 back to the committee, run in the dash 2 and 3 amendments, which we've just had delivered. Dash 3 is hot off the presses, and here they are. And move this bill over to the House and let the other members have their day in dealing with this issue, and look probably to a conference committee before the end of the legislative session, or at least a concurrence from this committee. So how about it, members? What are we going to do with this?
Mr. Chair, could I ask one question?
Absolutely.
Could I respectfully ask Senator Minnis to rephrase the statement that he doesn't really give a rip what COSA must be, I think?
Well, I'm talking like a cop again. I don't really mean that. I have a level of esteem for your work and that. It's a very frustrating discussion that we're having.
Fantastic.
I want to be clear or something.
Mr. Rose, I think that's about the best you're going to get. Oh, but I didn't excuse you, Mr. Rose. Not at all. Mr. Vice Chair has the floor.
Ozzie, I just want to be real clear. I understand what the chair is saying. Would your group have come to the same recommendation if they thought that it meant that the overall pot would have been reduced by $30 million or $29 million and then redistributed?
I'm not certain. The other side of that coin is, what would they have done if they thought there was $29 million additional?
Mm-hmm.
Also, because I mean, and that,
let me try and rephrase that. I see exactly where the vice chair is going, but I'll take it out of the issue of the $29 million. If it was a billion less or a billion more, don't we still need a funding formula adjustment that recognizes that the small schools have hemorrhaged worse than any of the other components in the district?
I think the majority of our groups thinks that, yes.
Okay. I think what we're bogging down on and really stuck on is that we all have very strong feelings about those federal forest receipts, and that is almost a towering issue for some communities. And I keep trying to bring us back that this is a formulaic adjustment. That's what it is. Whether it's 5.21 or 5.29 or 5. Whatever, that's the formula that we're looking at.
Mr. Chair, I only have to add that a computer run that showed everybody with $24 a kid less would change the environment in which the discussion took place.
Sure, good.
That's out there.
Yeah.
It is.
The same. Yeah. It happened up here at this table today.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it would get around to Steve.
Yeah.
He's been sitting there very quiet, but he's at the base of this.
Actually, the chairman was instructed during chairman's school that if anything really odorous came up, that the only logical explanation was to blame the staff. Well, colleagues,
I'd blame the state police, but they're armed.
Yeah. They deal in hot lead. We determined that earlier. So I don't know. I mean, I'm really feeling that what we need to do is take 519 to the committee, add dash threes to it, and run it out, gut and stuff it, leave Senator Masterly's bill to stand or fall on its own merits, and move this over to the House side. And I hope I can get consensus from that from the committee to do that. What that does for Senator Corcoran is it gives us a day or two to work on that very issue. We have a major caucus in both parties coming up. I'm hoping to have some better information to bring about the nature of the public law 1608 by that time. Should have had it today, mm-hmm. But I don't have it.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Vice Chair.
There's probably some really good logic to let those caucuses happen this week and bring this back the rest of the week. And I suspect you're right. Out of courtesy, we probably, if we're going to make a change, ought to do it in something other than Senator Messerly's bill.
Well, let us.
Yeah, the other issue, though, that I do want to raise, because you keep raising it, is in the Medicare, you need to come to grips with legislative counsel and the Attorney General's office does not see it as a numeric problem. They see it as current law and the definition of that. So at least if we're going to treat the federal force money that way, we need to get to the legal eagles and say, let's make sure that we have the language that, regardless of our personal opinions on it, reflects what is legal.
Mr. Vice Chair, I have met with counsel on this issue daily for the last couple of weeks. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think he's crossing the street. Well, not Mr. Chalmers, maybe crossing the street when I walk down the street. Senator Minnis.
Isn't there one other relevant question with respect to this additional appropriation that Congress supplied for us with respect to equity? I mean, in the sense that you supply this additional appropriation, Congress is being benevolent in doing this, but then when you look at the formula, does that then put us in some other exposure to being out of equity? And I don't know the answer to that question.
You know, Senator Minnis, I don't think that does put us out of equity, because the same argument that takes it outside the school funding formula leaves the formula intact for the distribution of state dollars. These are federal dollars, and it's an appropriation, it's a special appropriation.
Yeah, have we asked that question?
We have asked that question. We're just waiting for the answer.
and it's the reason that also, I think the other reason that it's not particularly a problem is that we don't count other monies in other jurisdictions against, as an offset to the school funding formula. There's federal monies, you know, that go into certain school districts. There's grants that go from cities, from private donors. None of that is an offset. Isn't that correct, Dawsey?
Is it the consensus of the committee that we will communicate with Senator Messerly that his bill stands intact and that we'll bring back 519 and work
that? Good news is intact. Bad news ain't going nowhere.
We didn't get and stuff it. Yeah. No, at least I can look at
it. We got it, stuffed it, picked it back up again, and it ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Well,
dog can't hunt.
All right, and then I'm going to ask this question again. This is kind of where we blew up the last time. Do we have consensus to move the -3 amendments into 519? And if that at least at this point is conceptual, we'll give the committee time to look over -3 amendments. But we're talking about the same concept. We'd like to bring 519 back and work the bill and move it to the House.
What -3 amendments?
Everybody get it?
Now, Mr. Chair?
Senator Crestia.
Is this with the agreement that the 5.2 does not include the $29 million, and the $29 will be an additional amount of money that we're going to add to it?
Let me make this as succinct as possible. This is under the understanding that state-supplied resources is not less than $5.2
billion. Did you mean 509 or 519?
Steve, I think I need 519.
519.
519 has a correct related clause.
Oh, I see. So you're going to move this, yeah. I just think that, Mr. Chair, my only advice is I think that would be premature. I mean, we can set the vehicle whenever we need to set the vehicle, but until, you know, we hear from the caucuses about where they're going to be with this, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I think it might help the caucuses make their clarifications if we're very firm and you know, what we intend to do. And the idea was, has anybody heard a discussion of less than $5.2 billion from state-supplied resources for school funding? Senator Minnis?
Well, I do think we have to be cognizant of the May forecast.
We do.
Because I have heard predictions that are fairly dire. Now, right, whether that's accurate or not, I think that is a question that ultimately leads us to...
But Senator Minnis, in a practical sense, won't this bill be over in the House side by May?
Thinking about the conference meeting, I don't really want to be on it.
Sure.
Yeah. Mr. Vice Chair.
I don't mean to be picky, but to answer your question, I think the correct thing to say is that no one has heard a discussion of spending less than 5.2 for schools.
Yeah.
But people are basically talking about the governor's budget, which included the federal money in that port. It did not include the state money.
A math error. A math error. It
could
happen.
Could we ask, since apparently you've been talking to Mr. Chamoff a lot, as have I talked to the... But could we ask for a simple little letter opinion from them as to...
What a good
where
idea.
They think it would be.
That's a good idea. As a matter of fact, yes, we'll ask for that. We have asked that.
What's the question we'll be asking for?
Well, essentially, we're trying to get
the clarification. Outside or inside?
No.
Under current state law?
No, that's not the question. We're trying to get the...
That is not the question. That is absolutely not the question. I agree.
No. The question is, what are the nature of these dollars? What are, you know, what's the nature of this appropriation? How do we follow the law? And that's what I mean, that's a legitimate question to be asked from the...
Wait a minute. No, that's the intent. The question is, how does the funding formula address federal, well, those federal funds? And do we need to change the funding formula?
Oh, I see your question. That's plan B, Senator.
Well, now we have two questions.
Yeah. Why don't you ask Chamoff, because I have chased Mr. Chamoff up and down these hallways, Mr. Vice Chair. You better ask him. All right, now let's get back to reality here. The reality is, I'd like to bring 519 back and work this bill. Clearly, we're going to have some caucuses and more discussion between then and now. But colleagues, it's time to do something with the funding formula or not. You know, let me put it to you in a different way. We are under obligation to Senate leadership at this point to have finished all of the hearings on the Senate side of bills by the... action by the end of the month, hearings by the 15th of April, and there are other bills that we need to turn our attention to. We've spent a lot of time on this bill.
But by strict definition, Mr. Chair,
sure.
I don't think he gave the year. He just gave the month.
I have a feeling that the other committee chairs are going to be shutting their committees down between the 15th and the 30th of April.
Good. We could be the Rules Committee then.
We could be all alone in this building for days at a time. The point is, I want to make sure everybody understands. We've got a pretty hefty agenda from here out. We spend 2 hours a crack on this bill every time we hear it. We got to move this thing, or just walk away from it.
Walk away.
Senator Minnis.
I would suggest that the chair can consider moving our starting time back to 8 o'clock.
Committee members, do you have objections to that?
Why?
Well, because we seem to be getting bogged down after 10 o'clock, and I'm having a difficult time.
That's because we can't agree on the issues.
Well, that isn't that colleagues, if you're without objection, then the chair will start meeting at 8:10 in the morning next week, starting Monday. Hmm. That gives staff an opportunity.
Don't we have that dog and pony show Monday?
Question. We do have it. Well, I'm sorry. We do have.
There's no meeting Monday
morning.
No meeting Monday.
There's no meeting Monday morning.
Morning.
Monday afternoon.
Senator Corcoran, you'll be here at 8:10.
You know, my softball team used to always send me to the wrong pizza joint, so I'm used to this treatment. But let me say that the issue, I'm wondering why. I understand meeting with the other committee. I'm really having a hard time understanding why we're doing it in Portland, because I could almost predict what we're going to hear. Yeah, what's the point of that?
Well, it's an opportunity, I think, for people to participate outside this building. And one of the
should have had it in Ashland.
Well, we could have. I'd have loved to have it in Ashland, but I couldn't get the permission to get it to go to Ashland. Anyway, the point is that outreach to the constituents, and we're not going to my district, Senator, but the bottom line is I think leadership wanted to bring some functions of government outside the building to be more inclusive with people. And these
we have to behave?
No, not at all. You okay. Can go for it.
When have you ever...
Well, I had to ask.
colleagues, I'll come back to it again. Are we... put it this way. The chairman will schedule Senate Bill 519 with the intention of moving the Dastery amendments into 519.
Tuesday.
We'll expect you to come back to the committees having been informed by your caucuses about direction. And if there's any discussions you wish to have with the chair, please contact me before the next scheduling. We'll ask for it to be brought at the earliest possible convenience. Again, the intent will be to move this bill out with the Dastery Amendment, 519.
Our caucus is at 6.2 plus the 29.
5.2 plus the 29.
6.2.
Ozzy, there's your first vote for the quality education model. actually, we had scheduled Senate Bill 509 for a committee hearing this morning, but the time grows short. We will defer that to a future date. Any further business to come before the committee? Hearing and seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Rose. We're at adjournment.